When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome to 11 Personnel. I'm by myself. Nick Roush is on vacation, doing a little spring breaking somewhere in the SEC footprint. Not really sure where Nick is right now. I think he's in Alabama with his family, hanging out in Birmingham, the great city of Birmingham, home of Eric Bledsoe. But for now, we're just gonna talk some ball here. Just me, myself, and I. We're gonna call in Cowherd. This thing, Josh Pate, this thing, Andy Staples, this thing, and we're just going to talk some Kentucky football today. So thanks for joining us here on 11 Personnel. And we got some questions here from our KS Board family. Thanks to everyone who responded to me today. That was very much appreciated. And we're going to answer some questions. And then we're also going to get into our YouTube chat later and take some questions there live. So if you're there in the chat right now, thanks for joining. Save the questions for the end, because if you put them there right now, I won't get to it. So save them for the end. I'll try to get to some rapid fire here at the end. And Nick may join us or he may not. I do not know. And so we're gonna see. We're just kind of playing this by ear here today. But that's enough, I think, for the intro. We're gonna jump into it right now with our Q&A. We've got about 7-8 questions here from the board, and I've combined some questions, so we're not stepping over each other today. But first off, we're going to talk about everyone's favorite topic, talent accumulation, recruiting. Spring transfer portal window opens here in like less than 2 weeks. I believe it opens on the 15th. And so that's like coming right down the chimney pretty quickly. And for Kentucky, I think they're going to be a potential active shopper. I think you could see some two-way shopping. Kentucky, I have them at 86 scholarships as of right now. And I think they're probably going to lose some players, but I definitely think they're going to gain some players as well. Now, what positions will they add? And that was really a popular question. What's a position of need we may grab once the portal back opens? Ask Rev Jones 22 on the board. And then SEC First asked, statistically, UK had one of the worst secondaries in the SEC last year. I think these questions go hand in hand. They've lost Andrew Phillips to the draft, but they only added Christian Story out of the portal. He's going to play safety. So what's the deal there, really? And to me, this is interesting because Kentucky did not add a cornerback in the winter portal window, and I think it's pretty obvious that was a massive need for them. They're instead rolling the dice, and I think early in camp, or at least in spring camp, Jansen Dunn's been one of the bigger winners here, and I think he's going to play a role there. He already mentioned today he's kind of playing the Andrew Phillips role. He's playing both inside and outside. He's the favorite, I think, to be their starting nickel this season. But what happens? Is he going to be the starting cornerback? Is he going to be like Andrew Phillips, where he's going inside, outside? That's to be determined. I asked Brad White about JQ Hardaway today, and it was pretty much a non-answer. I'm not really saying how he's doing or what's going on there with him. So I think really at cornerback, it's kind of wide open. And I think you're going to see them go out and add a guy that can potentially come in here, I think, and start. But I think one thing that's been established is Jansen Dunn's going to play, whether it's outside cornerback or slot cornerback there. And that's got an issue, got to get fixed. I do wonder, like, what if you would ask, why wouldn't Kentucky just really hammer away this position and add a bunch of guys? I think you just, when you look at their roster, they've got 15 scholarships spent right now in the secondary room. I've got them with 8 cornerbacks and 7 safeties. Safety play was also a disappointment, I thought, but they returned Zion Childress, Jordan Lovett, Ty Bryant. And so I think they're banking on some talent development there. Add Christian Story there. And then in the cornerback room, they return Jansen Dunn, Maxwell Harrison, Jordan Robinson, J.Q. Hardaway, all those guys play snap. Nasir Addison's also a guy there, and then they have three freshmen, true freshmen. So I think they're banking a little bit on their talent development there, but I do think that this is going to be a position where we see them address in the portal. Elsewhere, I think offensive line is obviously a spot. On Wednesday night, Anthony Kreese was a junior college transfer. He committed to SMU. He had official visits, I believe, scheduled for Syracuse and then Kentucky coming up. So that was a guy Kentucky wanted, and he's going to SMU. He's going to play in the ACC next year. And so I think tackle is something they're definitely going to look at here once the portal opens. I wouldn't even say guards out of the picture if they find a good fit there. So definitely offensive line, I could definitely see. Definitely cornerback. And then I think the other one possibly is tailback. We're going to get into this a little bit, but Jason Patterson is just, and really the freshman class in general, something I'm going to touch on later. But they have been a pretty big storyline, to me at least, during spring ball. That class looks like a hit very early. And I think Patterson is going to have a role in this offense. So you add him with Ohio State transfer Chip Traynham, obviously, and then NC State transfer Demisuma Kongbaes in year two is kind of your third down back, I think, for offensive coordinator Bush Hamden. But I think running back could be something they look at there because they're pretty unproven there really all around. But Chip Traynham's probably played the most, but they're unproven there. But I think they like Jason Patterson. If you're running with the ones already, that's a really good sign to me, at least. For him moving forward. And we'll move on to the next question here. Roster strength topic here. What is the current biggest strength of the roster and where is the weakest link? This comes from Hoochie Man. Shout out Hoochie Man. Terrific message board name there. I think you got to start on offense and defense. Offense, what is the biggest strength? I think this will make some people may disagree, but on paper, wide receiver is the biggest strength on this roster. Baron Brown, Dan Key have both made plays in this league, up and down, but they have made plays in this league. Jamori Macklin was a 1,000-yard receiver in the American Athletic Conference last year. That's the strength of the offensive roster is the wide receiver. And I think you could tag the tight end position in there with them with all they return. Josh Caddis, Jordan Dingle, Kamari Anderson. Those are three guys that can really play good football, I think, in the SEC. So I would say offensively, receiver is the biggest strength. They just have some to prove, specifically this year. Specifically, I think Brown and Key, and I think you can even throw Macklin in this group discussion because this is a draft year. This is a get-paid year for all those guys. They are draft eligible now, and I think both of them – I wouldn't be surprised if a Gopher each was to be a 3-and-done at Kentucky. And if that's going to happen, they need to have big years. So you're getting them in a contract year, essentially. And so I think Kentucky is hopeful that will pay off. Biggest roster weakness, I think, on offense, quarterback's an unknown, obviously. And so we'll see how that develops. And then to me, I necessarily don't think it's tackle. Like, to me, the next spot would be, I think, guard. Like, the guard play's got to get a lot better for Kentucky this year. And you hear them stressing over and over and over again the need to be able to run the football, specifically being able to run the football downhill. Now, what does that mean? I think you really have to ask yourself, what does that mean when Eric Wolford, when Mark Stoops, when Bush Hamden all get in front of a podium and a mic and they say that, to me, it's being able to run the ball with efficiency. To me, it's being able to, first and 10, create a second and 5, stay in standard downs. To me, it's down at the goal line, being able to pound that sucker into the end zone. To me, it's 3rd and 2, let's run it, get 3 yards, and let's move the chains. Let's stay efficient with our running game. Kentucky, when under Stoops, they've been at their best when they've had an efficient running game. And they haven't had that really the last 2 years. Even with Chris Rodriguez when he returned in 2022, that efficiency wasn't there. Everything created was kind of created, by Chris Rodriguez that year. And his efficiency numbers really dropped
by a significant margin that year. And I don't think a lot of that was his fault. I think a lot of it was up front. And so to me, that's I think, the biggest weakness. And I think that goes hand in hand, that running game success with inside their guard. I think they need to be better at that position. I think they added Jalen Farmer for a reason. Like if you tell me, if you say, Adam Luckett, I want you to predict the 22 starters opening day, week one. I think I would probably write in Florida transfer Jalen Farmer as one of those starters at guard. I think they added him for a reason. And Eric Wolfert was familiar with him in the past. I think they brought him in here to come and start at one of the guard positions next to Eli Cox. And obviously Jagger Burton's in the mix. Dylan Ray's in the mix after playing guard last year. But I get the sense they might like him at right tackle a little bit more. And then I think you look at a guy like Ben Chrisman recovering from an ACL. He tore that ACL in August. He's still on the recovery. The hope is to have him back for fall camp. So you see what you have with him. I think guard is a position that they need to play better. That's another one I think in the portal could be a sneaky spot to add someone, just because they have bodies and they have experience, but they just don't have the proven production. And they're pretty young. Like Mark Knave's going to be a true freshman. Abisell going to be a true freshman. Hayes Johnson, true freshman. I think all those guys are guards. Austin Ramsey's another guy, kind of like Dylan Ray's, bouncing back and forth between guard and right tackle. He's only a redshirt freshman. And so you really have Jagger Burton, you have Jalen Farmer, you have Ben Chrisman, Dylan Ray, and then you got Paul Rodriguez in year four in the program, and he's never really factored. And so how do they feel about that spot after spring ball? I think if they go out and get a guard, I think that tells you they don't feel very good about where they're standing in the interior offensive line. So that, I think, is something to watch over the next, really, 2-3 weeks, because once this portal window opens, it's going to go fast. It's only open for a couple weeks. Now, players can sign or commit somewhere after it closes. The window is only for you to enter. But if you're going to enter, you got to enter in that 2-week window. And I wouldn't be surprised two-way movement there. If you see some guys maybe leave at Kentucky from guard, and if you see maybe them add guys there, that's a sneaky spot, I think, to watch. Defensively, I think the biggest strength, I kind of combine two positions here. I really think the front seven is a big strength for Kentucky. I really do. Deion Walker up front, and then he's surrounded with veterans who have played a lot of football. You look at Trevon Ripka, you look at Octavius Oxendine, you look at Khalil Saunders, Keyshawn Silver, Josiah Hayes. There's a lot of guys in there around him that have played a lot of football. So you start there with the defensive line, and Walker alone is a star. Then you go with his parts around him. Like J.J. Weaver is a hard edge-setting edge player. He's going to be our anchor against the run, and then who's maybe a little bit limited as a edge rusher, but you know what you're going to get with J.J. He's a good, productive SEC front seven player. You go to linebacker. De'Aaron Jackson and Shaman Dumas-Johnson, Pop Dumas-Johnson, the Georgia transfer, that's going to be one of the better off-ball linebacker duos in the conference. Now, I don't think that's probably the best. Like, you don't want them just totally pass covering, but if they're coming on blitzes and if they're fitting the run, they're pretty damn good. And so I'm excited about that group. And I'm just excited about the front seven in general. Specifically, like, when you play in Alex Afari at kind of that hybrid Sam linebacker / nickel on standard downs, there's a lot to like, in my opinion, about that group. And I think they've got depth at spots too. Like David Rayner's a solid third linebacker there. I'm excited about see what we see out of Tyrese Fearbury here as kind of a situational pass rusher there at Jack linebacker. I think there's a lot to like about that group. Even some young players I'm interested to see on the defensive line. Tavian Gadsden as a redshirt freshman, Gerard Smith, Brian Robinson. There's a lot to like, I think, about this group. Specifically in the front seven, I think Kentucky is going to give offenses some real problems with their front this year. I think that's the biggest strength on the football team. The biggest weakness or question mark, we already discussed it. I mean, it's secondary. Like, where are they at in the secondary? You know, where are they at opposite Maxwell Harrison? Is safety play in general, is that going to take a big jump forward? Because the thing with me with the safety play, like, we've seen Zion Childress, we've seen Jordan Lovett play good football. But that it kind of, they took a step back last year. So you wanted to see them return to that 2022 form. But you saw Ty Bryant play well as a true freshman. So I, promising future there. See what he can grow into in year two. And Christian Story as kind of your third or fourth safety, I think is really good. Third or fourth safety. You've got real depth there and you can rotate guys. And if things aren't going well, like you have options there. So I think safety there, I think there's some reasons to believe that they're going to be better at safety. Now, corner is a whole different thing. We all know Harrison and what he is, and he's a good-looking player. He's going to be, when we go to Dallas in July, if he's not the first-team All-SEC cornerback, that's going to be a head-scratcher. But after that, like who, what's at the other cornerback? Jansen Dunn has really been a riser. I'm really excited to see him when they open practice. And when we see him in the spring game, like this was a guy out of Bowling Green, South Warren, in high school that was a top 200 recruit. Ohio State really, really wanted. He goes there, doesn't go great for him, spends 2 years there, comes to Kentucky, spends a year, kind of learns the system, and now it seems like he's ready to take a big jump. Like the profile and type of player and potential has always been there with Dunn. It's just, can he put it all together? It seems like he might be doing that right now, and that would be a really, really nice development, I think, for the defense. Specifically, if he can play kind of two spots for you, if you can be an outside corner and in kind of standard base defense, and if he can play nickel when you need that fifth, a true fifth defensive back, coverage defensive back out on the field. And so I think he would be a nice development. But after that, I mean, it's concerning. We don't know. Like, again, J.Q. Hardaway, it's been dead quiet on him. Jordan Robinson, you haven't heard a peep out of him. Regarding this, Tyrion Nichols was a true freshman I was really excited about. You haven't heard really anything out of what's going on with him. And it's not like they're not taught that freshmen haven't come up during spring camp. They're talking about other freshmen that are doing good things, but you haven't really heard much about Nichols. So where are they at there? I think corner, I think if you're going to rank worries on the team entering the season, I think cornerback is obviously up there. And then we'll move on here to our next question. Again, Jamarian Wilcox. I think some of y'all were already asking about him in the chat. This is a guy everyone really likes. Like, that was a big recruitment. We talked about it at length, the home run hitting ability. I mean, he was a 2,000-plus yard rusher in a high classification in Georgia. Clemson, Auburn, Ohio State were kind of involved with him. So, Anon 17114597 52 ask, has anyone heard anything about Jamarian Wilcox? And the answer to that is we have heard things. He's not running with the ones. He's kind of running with the twos there with Lavelle Wright. And I think for him, a lot of it is learning the offense, like knowing what you're supposed to do. He's got the explosive play potential to get it there, but I think he's a clear number four in that running back room right now. I think it's Trainum, it's DSK, and it is Jason Patterson, who's really been, to me, one of the bigger surprises during spring camp so far, is that he's been able to make this big of a splash. I think they like him, but Wilcox is small. And so I think a big emphasis this spring has been running that ball downhill. So they want some more size there. That was never going to be what his big strength in college. And so I think that's just kind of where they're at. Like, I think he's the fourth guy. We'll see if he can develop into kind of a situational player for them. Maybe even some guy you know, Barry Brown's a kick returner, but maybe you throw him back there sometimes if you need to give Brown a break, just to try to get him on the field some. But I definitely think he's the fourth guy right now, and I think a lot of it is just, you know, getting to know the system, being where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do, stuff of that nature, and then we'll see where he's at. And then Lavelle Wright is back there too. So I think that's where just things stand at running back. And I think Wilcox is that fourth. He's probably running with the twos, maybe the number one back with the twos. But right now, Jason Patterson is kind of sounds like he's stealing snaps from guys in that room. Next commit. Predict the next 2025 to commit. That comes from Steph's over on the board. This is a good question. Now, Martellus Carter would probably be my answer as of right now, because he's planning on a May announcement and it's April 4th. So a little bit of a cop-out here for me. And this is a guy we thought might commit in February. You know, he's been the number one target for Kentucky, top 200 safety, Paducah Tillman. he's got all kinds of schools on him. Clemson, Oregon, Tennessee was involved. Florida's been involved. Ole Miss has been involved. Even Colorado at the beginning of his recruitment had a lot of noise. And so I think, Carter, that this has been one of Vince Merrill's big, big time targets this year. During this cycle, I think Kentucky's put a lot of resources in trying to get him, and I think they will end up getting Martellus Carter. If he sticks to that May announcement, I think he is going to be the next guy. One I would predict. Now, the part of the reason I'm doing would predict him is because typically this there will be some commitments over the next month or so, but most the big window is going to come after these official visits in June. Really, from that time, the first official visit weekend in June until really the kind of end of July, that is the big honey hole commitment. That's when a lot of guys make decisions. And a high volume of that comes around the 4th of July. I mean, that's kind of become the unofficial holiday, national holiday of college football recruiting, is kind of that 4th of July weekend. And so a lot of players are going to go on visits, official visits, that kind of wraps up the recruiting process, sit down with their families, make decisions, and commit before their senior football season starts, and to get that done with. Now, some commits, the recruitment still continues, obviously, and we've seen that happen a time or two with Kentucky and throughout the college football landscape, but a lot of decisions are going to be made. Like Spike Soles is on record saying he wants to make a decision in the summer. He's a big target. Cameron Miller, I believe, is another guy who said he wants them to decide July 4th. Jacob Polacek reported tonight that he is locked in an official visit with Kentucky. That seems like a Wisconsin versus Kentucky battle for the four-star receiver in New Jersey. Marquise Davis, top 200 tailback out of Cleveland, Ohio Heights. Kentucky has him locked in with an OV. He's got a summer announcement coming. So there's going to be a lot of guys like this, and a lot of decisions coming after these official visits. And we started to see Kentucky, the pace pick up with getting targets locked in to be on campus for those officials. And that's when the next big commitment window is going to be. I think for Kentucky, if you can get Martellus Carter in the fold there in May before you probably have your one or two huge Juno Vs, that would be a big, big development to get what would probably end up being one of your top-ranked recruits in this class. I mean, that's a top 200 safety. You go through the rankings. Kentucky hasn't signed a lot of top 200 safeties in the Mark Stoops era. That would be a big, big win, especially going into the western part of the state, which has not always been the easiest place for Kentucky to pull kids from or to sign kids from. So that would be they've done a better job here in Bowling Green recently, but Paducah's pretty far out there, and you don't see Kentucky recruit out there super often. I believe the last guy they signed from Tillman was Josh Forrest. So that's a little blast from the past, early Stoops era. But I think that's where they're at right now on the recruiting trail. Again, a huge June is upcoming, and we're going to have all kinds of coverage of that at KSR Plus over the next really two to three months as recruiting starts to heat up. And then the next question comes from Houdé Katz. Shout out Joe Burrow. Regarding Kentucky's culture, have you noticed any culture improvements or means to improve those issues? Mental mistakes and personal fouls really hurt us last year. And I agree with that very, very much. The personal fouls for about, I think, a 3-4 game stretch there, specifically at the beginning of SEC play, were a problem. I think they got that fixed towards the end of the year, but that was an issue for the team. And we heard Mark Stoops talk about in the preseason how this team, when adversity hit, they were not going to crumble, and that's not really what happened on the field. The Missouri game is obviously perfect example. Like, they just kind of fell apart in that game, and there were some other moments where that weren't great for the team throughout the year. So a lot of these culture answers, you're really not going to get the answer you want until the game start, right? I mean, anybody can say, oh, our culture's great, yada, 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 but not, like, a good culture, a lot of times, is a winning culture. And so you got to win games. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. But I do think it's notable that Bush Hamden has really gone out of this way, I think, 3 or 4 times now to kind of talk about how good Kentucky's culture is. And really, he's kind of highlighted just how they operate as an organization, how they practice, how the atmosphere in the facility is, how the kids want to be there, want to spend time there. And to me, that's signs of, one, I think that's year over year, that's having the same leader, the same voice, and kind of creating this place where college kids like to be and like to go to work. And two, I think it's could be a sign, and I think it is a sign that they got a good group there. I really do think they like that group there, and I think they like the leadership of this team. And we've heard leadership was an issue with the offense last year, but I think they like just where they're at, the leadership they have, the returning players they have, the old veterans they have in that football facility. I think they like where they're at from a culture standpoint. And so I think that's going to be a big talking point this offseason, potentially, is where they're at as a team, as a football team, as an organization. But at the same time, I think Kentucky, they're making a committed effort to kind of just lay low and go about their business right now, because they know, like, this is a big year, I think, for the program. I think they know that. I think they know they got to go out and prove it after what we've seen the last two seasons. But I do get a sense that, like, that's to put together a locker room that's going to stick together. And to me, I think another sign of that was, like, stuff got really sideways for them late in the year last year. Specifically, you know, you lose that South Carolina game, a game they had really had, I wouldn't say they had no business losing, but that's a game that they needed to win. They were better than that team, and they didn't win it, and they couldn't score. It was a really frustrating loss, I think, for Kentucky. But the fact that they were able to bounce back and beat Louisville in that kind of situation that was at stake this week, where Kentucky was in a really bad spot, and then Louisville was sky high. You know, what were they at? I think they were 10-1 at the time. They were getting ready to go play in the ACC championship. Like, they had a playoff bid potentially on the line, and Kentucky went in there and essentially knocked them out of the Orange Bowl, knocked them out of the New Year's Six by going in there and beating them. And that started Louisville going on a 3-game slide. I think that was a good sign that the culture is still in a good place overall. There might have been some small issues that they had to figure out, or significant, or small to maybe minor, maybe medium level issues they had to figure out. But overall, I think that was a good sign that the culture was in a good spot. And I even think in the bowl game, even though they lost, the fact that they went out there and they put together a good game plan and they played hard and they played well, I think was a good sign about where the culture is overall. And now they just need to go and they need to win some more close games. And they, well, if they do that, they're going to have a better season. But culture-wise, I think they're in a good spot right now. Now, we'll have to see what happens, right, when they get punched in the mouth when the football games start. But I think right now, I think they like where they stand. And then I think Bush Hamden's comments have been really telling from the limited times we've gotten to speak with him so far. Now, he's only been here a couple months. But I do think they're in a good spot there from a locker room culture standpoint and from a potential, like, player leadership standpoint. Your best players are you need your leaders to be your best players. Seems like Deion Walker is a leader on this team, and he is one of their best players, and we'll see where it comes from on offense. But I think him and Hairston stand out to me as kind of leaders for this team, and they're two of your best players. So that's going to give you, I think, a really good chance to have a good team because of when you have that. Then the next question is about Nikhil Shorts Jr., the wide receivers coach, a new wide receivers coach, came over from Houston. Cam_Taylor on the board asks, or points out, I like the buzz coming out of the receiver room. Did Stoots finally nail the hire for receivers coach, or is the competition level amongst the group showing itself? Iron sharpening iron. I think with Shorts, the early returns for him have been really, really good. We've talked about on the board, we've got some intel from people and sources inside the program who speak very highly of him, how he's been able to relate to players, how he's really made a quick splash on the recruiting trail. We just mentioned the receiver up in New Jersey, name escaping me right now, Cameron Miller. Like, he's got Kentucky in a great position for them. I think he's going to be a real threat for the Wildcats. They're in the Mid-Atlantic area. And so that, number one, is important. Like, they add another recruiter on that offensive staff, a guy who can really go out and get you players, I think is a big deal. And so he's giving them that. But I also think in the room, it seems like he's really relating to the players. I think the fact that he played the position was important, and I think it's helped some of those guys in there. And I think they needed to hear a new voice, and I think that seemed like a good development, I think, for them. Now, you bet the track record has not been great, receivers coach. You know, they've had a lot of heavy turnover. I mean, you go Tommy Maynard, then I believe you went Lamar Thomas, then I believe you went Michael Smith, then Jovan Bunite, and then Scott Woodward, and now Dakil Shorts. And a lot of those guys are out of college football now, the guys that coach receivers for Kentucky. Well, Woodward took a head coaching job in high school. I believe Lamar Thomas is out of football. I believe Tommy Maynard may be back high school coaching. And then I believe Bunite just got fired at Marshall. I didn't know if he landed a job yet or not. So they've had some misses there, wide receiver coach. Where Shorts is a young 26-year-old, is a high riser right now. But he's only worked for Dana Holgorsen. So to me, from that aspect, it was a little bit of a gamble, but early returns have been really, really strong regarding him. And he's got on paper, talent-wise, that receiver room looks like Kentucky's best positional unit, and they need that group to be good. And they need them to be more than good. They need them to be consistent and dependable week in and week out, snap in and snap out. And they need to kill Shorts to really guide that room and get the best out of that group. Kentucky made a concerted effort, I think, to get older and get some guys with strong work ethics out of the portal. And I think that's why they added both Jamori Macklin, a guy who's grinded, right? He leaves Missouri, goes to North Texas, grinds there for 2 years, has a big year, and now he's looking for a big season at a higher level. And then Fred Ferrier didn't really have a lot of options out of high school, grinded at UAB, and now they giving him a chance to come play here. Like, I think those additions were calculated. I think they were really looking for dudes who love football and who are going to come in here and grind and work. And I think to supplement them with Dane Key, Barry, and Brown enter big seasons, I think there's plenty to get excited about. And the depth's obviously improved. But they got to go out and do it, and you got to see 7 and 6 make plays week in and week out, and you got to see the quarterback get on the football too. And so I think this hire seems early. It has a chance to break that wheel and be a really good, like potentially a. We could look back in 5 years and be like, wow, that was a really good hire by Stoops, hiring to kill Shorts. And I think early returns, he's making an impact as a recruiter. He's making an impact in that room as a coach, and so I. Cautiously, maybe a little bit more than cautiously optimistic that Shorts is going to be a really, really good ad for the Wildcats. And the last one, and we'll get to the chat here soon, regarding QB buzz. Feels like there has not been a lot of QB talk this spring. Is there a concerted effort on that after Leary got crazy offseason hype only to sorely disappoint during the season? Or is it truly not much to talk about? Everyone looks like what we would expect. This comes from ZimZam24 on the board. Yeah, I think I have kind of a two-part answer to this. One, I think Brock Vandegrift was a big-time recruit. Lincoln Riley recruited him. He goes to Georgia. You know, he didn't start because they had Stetson Bennett, and then Carson Beck's going to be a first-round pick in the 2025 NFL draft. And so, like, it's not like they just had dudes over there at Georgia. So he didn't start there, but he still got to go out and prove it. He's got a very intriguing skill set. And then we heard Brad White talk today about just his dual threat. His dual threat ability is real, and it's going to be challenging for defenses to try to handle. And I think that also that's a sign that, hey, Bush Hamden's going to run the quarterback, and he's talked about that to us in his introductory press conference, and he's done it at places. And so that's going to be an element for Kentucky's offense, and I think that's exciting. It's definitely going to be something that will help them on the field this year. But I think that's part of it. Like, he's got to go out and prove it. This is not a situation where they had Devin Leary or had a year of Will Levis where you had real tangible results to be like to point to and say, this guy's done it. We're excited. Let's go do it. And then the second part to that, I do believe that two offseason in a row, the hype around the quarterback position was kind of crazy. I mean, you talked both Levis and Leary going into the season. If you just read some of the buzz coming out, you would have thought that these guys are going to be like maybe potential Heisman guys. And that never developed for either of them. And Leary was very up and down. And we talked about that, whether his fit was this or that, yada, yada, yada. So I get the sense that Kentucky is kind of wanting to just put their head down and Mark Stoops' favorite phrase, just go to work and just get back to their identity and who they are and maybe trying to stay out of the limelight a little bit this offseason. I mean, it's been pretty quiet over there outside of we got the portal bump. It's been fairly quiet after the bowl game until spring ball started. And then even in spring practice, outside of some of the freshmen they've praised, they're really kind of hesitant on getting too ahead of themselves. And I believe Brock Vandergriff, they just want to take it slow with him. Vandergriff had a tough change here already in his Kentucky career. He was studying the Cohen, you know, getting Cohen ready to play for Cohen really for two and a half months. And then they pull the rug out from under him. He's got to learn a new system and learn, get to know a new coordinator. And then in 2 weeks, you're out on the practice field with him. And so he's got a lot going on. It's drinking water out of a garden hose right now. So they want him to just kind of take things slow and progressively stack days. But I think you hear them talk about them once it gets going. You can hear that just the talent he has. And if he can just put it together, they can really do something. It's going to be a more modern offense. They're going to mix in some tempos. Again, it's not going to be a NASCAR offense, but they're going to mix in some tempos, and they're going to run the quarterback. Brock Vandergriff is not a run-first quarterback, but they're going to have zone read, and he's going to pull that ball sometimes, and he's going to run QB draws, and they're probably going to have a QB power, a QB counter sprinkled in at some point as a wrinkle later in the year. And so I think there's reasons to get excited, but I think Kentucky, I really just think they're making a concerted effort to just stay low, go about their work, and then go out and improve a year and try to stay motivated under the radar and go out and prove people wrong this year. And so I think that's where they're at. And before we get into some chat questions, I just wanted to talk about some of the spring intel we have, what we know about Kentucky at the halfway point. We wrote about this at KSR Plus earlier this week. Again, like this freshman class is, I think we should all be high on it at this point. It's early, but Jason Patterson pushing for the ones is, I think, a sign that he's going to be a player. They are talking about Harley Gilmore like he is the next absolute all-SEC, potential All-American dude at receiver. Even the defensive guys are gushing about Gilmore. And so this kid should be a senior in high school or junior in high school right now. I believe he just turned 17 years old. So I'm not expecting him to make a huge push or huge splashes on the field this year, but buy stock because in the future, like, this is a real guy that I think they believe can be a building block. And then Brian Robinson and Gerard Smith are getting a ton of reps on the defensive line and could be rotational players. I think there's a lot to like about that group, and only half of them are here right now. There's some more coming later this summer. Injuries along the defensive front are eating them up right now. They're a little thin. Darian Henry Young is still recovering from a torn ACL injury he had against Mississippi State. Kendrick Gilbert has not been allowed to hit. He's not been cleared from injury. They haven't gone on record and said anything about Deion Walker, but I get the sense that they're taking it slow with him and they're not really involving him very much in spring. We'll have to see if they let him go in the spring game, but it seems like a guy that they're just taking it slow with, and you can't really blame them on that aspect. And then, again, the offensive line mindset has not changed. They're determined to get this run game fixed, and we'll see how that plays out. And then Bush Hamden's, like, the tempo, it sounds like they are legitimately messing with tempo and going fast out of the huddle and not the huddling. Again, I don't think they're going to be full-on NASCAR pace, but I do think they're going to sprinkle in more, kind of get the line, snap the ball quicker, and not huddling at all and getting the play call in fast. And I think that is going to be a big thing for them. And so, and the early returns on him have been positive regarding that. Now, we'll see what it looks like once the game starts, but gone are the days, I think, of breaking the huddle with 10 seconds. They're going to be lined up with 20 seconds and then to be ready to get the snap off once they hit that 10 clock instead of not being ready to snap the ball until the clock hits under 3. And so I think that alone is going to allow them potentially to get more plays in. And then, of course, 11 Personnel is always brought to you by Monticello Bank. Been in business for 128 years because Monticello Bank is where people matter. With 21 branches in 14 counties across the Commonwealth, visit one of their convenient locations or see how Monticello Bank can finance your future at mbcbank.com. Again, if you need a home loan, any type of loan, or just need to talk to them about what your financial stand, just go and visit one of those locations, Monticello Bank. They're a friend of the program, and they're a friend of you. So go check them out at Monticello Bank. And 11 Personnel is also a proud partner of FanDuel Sportsbook. You got the Final Four coming up. You got the Masters coming up. Baseball is off and running. The Reds are off to a good start here. And they got a series coming up with the Mets at home starting on Friday. It's America's number one sports betting app is FanDuel. Online sports betting is now live in Kentucky. New customer get $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. At $200, if your ticket cashes, head to FanDuel Personnel and sign up today. You can bet the under this weekend with the Final Four. You can bet Zach Edey props. There's all kinds of player props. And this might be the end of player props for college. There's some movement that might change. So if you want to get on the props, the Final Four in college ball might be your last opportunity here. So DJ Burns, you want to maybe parlay some props with him, check it out at FanDuel. They got everything you want to need or maybe want to look at this weekend. Must be 21 plus and present in KY. First online real money wager. Bonus issue non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And with that said, chat people, I am here and we're going to get to the chat and take some questions right now. So go ahead and fire those off and I'll look to get to some. Okay, and we'll start, I'll scroll up a little bit, but start firing them right now. I'm going to get to these as many as possible, but we'll see. I just had to load that feed right quick. Jimmy asked, Luckett, can you explain for those who don't know me how much seven extra plays actually can make a difference? Complimentary football, right? You want to keep your defense off the field. Seven plays for your offense may take away seven plays for your defense. So ball control, if you want to be a ball control offense, that matters. So it could be three extra first downs. Where those first downs come in a game, you know, you can extend the clock. You can potentially take away a whole possession from a defense if you can do that. So if you want to shrink a game, it helps you there. If you get behind, you need extra plays. So being able, if you're down 21-13 into the third quarter, you're going to need more plays. So if you're able to snap it faster, that's going to give you more essentially swings at the plate. So they can make a big deal. Seven plays, that's a lot of times that's maybe a possession or even possession and change. So that's an extra possession there on offense. So that makes a big, big difference. UK averaged 54.9. Yeah, that was Jimmy right there. BDIY, regarding defense, was last year an anomaly or did the scheme get exposed? How do we get more consistent QB pressure and more consistent pass coverage? BDIY, asking that here. I think that is a great question. I really, really do. I'm not sure the answer to that. I think that it seemed like there was some of UK getting got last year, scheme-wise. Now, was that a personnel issue? Or was that teams had them figured out? I don't know. I think it's a fair thing to wonder. I think a big part of the defensive struggles to me last year, I think safety play was supposed to be a strength and ended up being a weakness. And that was a problem I think they had a hard time overcoming when that happened. And injuries had a major effect there. Jalen Geiger was banged up for most of the season. Jordan Lovett was banged up, missed some games. I mean, they were in a situation where Ty Bryant was playing as a true freshman. And that was a guy they asked to gray shirt. I don't think that was in the cards for him to come in and play. And I think he did a pretty good job. But they need that group to be better because I think they put a lot on those safeties back there. And I think any zone coverage, heavy zone team puts a lot on their safeties. And so they're going to need that group to be better. So I think that was an issue. And then I know the popular question is the QB pressure, more consistent pass coverage, but specifically get the pressure rates. I think, look, you look at this Deion Walker had one of the highest pressure numbers in the SEC. Like, he's one of the best pass rushers in the conference. He's going to be one of the probably the best pass rushers in the country. Where Kentucky really needs, I think, to improve is kind of the edge rush. They really haven't had a true bender edge rusher since Josh Allen. And I'm not even saying they need a Josh Allen, but they just need somebody who can bend the corner and can speed rush and get to the quarterback. I think what we saw from Tyrese Fearbury, specifically against Clemson, at least for me, that perked my ears up. Because I haven't seen a guy with a get-off and burst like that since Allen. From just a speed rush, being able to dip his shoulder to turn the corner, and he really popped to me. And so if he can give you that and can be a real threat there as an edge rusher, it changes a lot of things. Specifically with Kentucky's run defense, where if you're stopping the run, you're creating advantageous or pass-heavy downs where quarterbacks are going to have to drop back. You need to be able to – your pressure needs to be able to get there. Your line needs to be able to get there. Walker can get there. But every offense they play is going to be like, we cannot let zero destroy us. And that's going to create advantageous situations for other players. I think you saw at times Kentucky's defensive line got some sacks because of Walker. I think even the bowl game he caused a couple. But I think Fearbury, he's going to get some one-on-ones, and I think he's going to have a chance to win and record some big individual wins and high leverage downs in games this year. And I think you have to hope he can kind of provide that. And a lot of that, to me, it kind of goes into recruiting. Are you getting guys that can rush the passer? I don't know if Kentucky was always getting those. I think that's a little bit changing. I think Jerod Smith's got a chance to be a pass rusher. Brian Robinson, he's not necessarily the bendy athlete, but he's a power player, and he's going to be able to run through guys and hold blocks and get off blocks. And there's value in that. But you got to get guys who can provide some athletic juice and get to the passer. And so I think fixing that pass rush is really important. But I think there's some signs there that it could be good this year. Let's see here. What about Grant Goffrey as Common Sense? His dad played for Tennessee Titans back in the day. His brother's on Clemson's basketball team right now. Was nearly in the Final Four. He was coming off an injury last year. He's at linebacker right now, off-ball linebacker. He's probably linebacker 4, I would say. In that room, he's an important one this year. I would look, does he get in like a rotation role? If he does, he's going to be a big part of the future, and he's going to be a starting linebacker next year. So I think he's in a good spot. He had an injury last year. I liked him as a prospect coming out of Georgia there in the 2023 class. So definitely liked him. Let's see here. This is from a friend of the program, Chaka Cummings. What is the buzz around outgoing transfers? Which room should we expect to get hit in the spring window? Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think offensive line in general, that's obviously one of your bigger number groups. So just from a number standpoint, Kentucky's got 15 scholarship linemen right now. I think you could see potentially maybe a guy or two from that group bouncing. Receivers got 11 scholarship transfers. There's only so many snaps to go around, so that's one I would watch. Running back is another one. I think you could maybe see lose a guy. And then elsewhere, that I think like there is a logjam kind of at linebacker with all these freshmen they just signed. You know, Quintavian Norman, surprise signing. Antoine Smith's in for spring right now. Devin Smith's going to arrive, was a big recruiting win for them in Brunswick, Georgia. Jaden Smith was a surprise recruiting win because of the Michigan coaching change. And then Steven Souls is another one who's on campus right now. So does that maybe cause someone to leave that maybe is a little bit older than them? That's something I think to look out for. And then at corner is another one. And like if they bring in a corner, a transfer, like if there's maybe a guy or two I think could potentially look to leave there, especially if they don't have a starting spot coming out of spring camp and then they bring in a transfer corner, that could be one where you see some movement there. And then also I think one to watch out for, like they have 4 specialists on scholarship. Only 2 of them can kick in a game, essentially, unless you're going to have a third as a kickoff specialist. Alex Rayner's the starting kicker. Wilson Berry's the starting punter. I wouldn't be surprised if they look at punter there. And then Jacob Cowie is a guy, is a guy they're excited about. So I don't think he's going to be one, but maybe a specialist. If something happens there, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some movement there. So that's your transfer portal report here from 11 Personnel. Okay, let's go.
Let's fix another one. Let's see here. Let's see. Ezra Breeze, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. Do you think teams like Tennessee will adjust to the new helmet technology and move quicker? Also, how will he adapt against Tennessee speed? That's a really good question. Tennessee can't. I don't think they can go any faster. So I don't think so. But it could maybe be a thing where they're the same personnel and same grouping. Josh Heupel can say a word like purple pencil, and that could mean something. And they can go maybe they could get on the line faster. But they're already going so fast. I don't know how much faster they can get. I think who it's really going to help is kind of huddle operations, really. I really do. I think for Kentucky, even if they would have stayed in the huddle, I think you would have seen their pace get better just because they were just going to get – there was no, like, looking at the band, reading the band. It's hearing it and relaying it. I think that would have helped them, potentially. And I think even Kentucky, where they're going to be kind of a check-with-me operation, you know, you get to the line, stop, look to the sideline after the defense gets set. Those check with me operations are going to help. Instead of looking at the signals or the big cards over there on the sideline, they're going to be able to just, you know, hey, we're running ABC 1-2-3 on double hut. You know, that I think that's where you're going to see the real big impact. There is some of those operations, and then only that, especially if you get to line early and get set. If the offensive coordinator can kind of see where they're at, he can kind of help the quarterback where to look. And so I think that's where it will really help. Tennessee, I mean, it could help, but I just don't know if they could go any faster than they're going. And then how will Kentucky adapt against Tennessee speed? I think that's a great question. That's something that has given them, Kentucky, a lot of problems. And that's something they're going to have to figure out, I think. You know, anytime you play Tennessee, it's about if you can hold up in when they're light box. Well, you have to play a light box because they're spread out so much. But if you can physically win and dominate matchups inside there, you make it really hard on them. And then you make them make a lot of low percentage throws that Hendon Hooker made look high percentage. But if you can't do that, then they can play action you and they can get guys behind you. So for me, I think it's a lot of can you stop that run game with a light box. Kentucky struggled to do that. Even this past year, I thought they would fare a little better, and they still had issues stopping the run. I mean, just go look at the end of the game. They had a chance to get a stop and go win the game, and they just couldn't stop the run game. And then Heupel mixed in some design Q run there, and they just had a real problem with it. And so I think that's something they're going to have to get better at. But I think it's, you know, you got to play complementary football there too. And like your offense has to help you out there. And that's kind of goes back to the extra possession. Like if you can play keep away and you can maximize drives, you're going to have a better chance. But it's tough. That's been a tough matchup for Kentucky. You know, I think it's unfortunate for a lot of people that it's kind of worked out the way it has. But Kentucky's had two games with them that went down the wire. Tennessee found a way to win them late, and then, of course, they got way away from them there in 2022. But we'll see what happens this year. But that's something they're definitely got to figure out. Let's see. Pig Spig 76. Kamari Anderson is a player I am interested to see how he's developed. He was a defensive end. Would be awesome to see him pass rushing as he looks bending and explosive as a tight end. Kamari Anderson is where he needs to be. He has the look of an NFL tight end and could be a special player for Kentucky. So I think Kentucky's happy with where Kamari is entering his sophomore year. I think he'll play a big role this year. And I think, like, you go back and watch that Louisville game, he had that on a third and nine, I think, he had a catch and hurdle, and he moved the chains on what ended up being a touchdown drive for Kentucky when they were kind of reeling a little bit early in that game. Like, that was a big play from him. And he's going to play a big role for the Wildcats this year. He's a player I think you should be excited about. Then Garen Beckett asks, are we going to see Anthony Brown Stevens get some good playing time? I think, yeah. I definitely think he is probably wide receiver 4 behind Brown, Key, Macklin. And he's given wide receiver 3 reps this year. This spring, because Macklin's been out. He's kind of, I think, a true slot guy that they're going to use. So I definitely think he's going to get reps. And I think when you look at the snap counts and at the end of the year, I think he could definitely be third or fourth in receiver snap counts there. And we'll get to a couple more here before we get out of here, guys. Scott Gregory asks, I rewatched the UofL game and the number of newly banned all-weight tackles exceeded double figures. How long did it take to ban for effects CBS? I guess you're talking about the hip drop tackle there, Scott. I'm not really sure. So correct me if I'm wrong. That just banned in the NFL. I think it's a college. We'll see how that goes. And then they might consider it and make it a personal foul. But that's kind of TBD. That's not something they will get to anytime soon. BDIY also asks, hey guys, what is one potential new offensive strength we can expect under Bush Hamden? And what is a potential new liability? The one thing that really stands out, I think, about Hamden is they've always been able to run the football. Every one of his offenses have found a way to run the football. So I think that it's going to be a strength. I think one of these Kentucky backs is going to have it's going to rise up and have a big season, and they're going to be able to run the football. And I think they've made a concerted effort to be able to run the football better this year. And so I definitely think that's going to be a strength. Potential new liability. I don't know, because I think Hamden's strengths kind of align with Kentucky's program strengths. And the big liability has always been the passing game. And so can they fix that? And we'll see what Hamden can do. And so I think that's the big question with him. Can, he develop and build a really good passing game? That's kind of, I think, TBD. But he's already proven that he can build a bare minimum competent to good ones that can produce 3,000-yard passers. So that's exciting. And I even think at Boise State last year, it's hard to even really evaluate him as a passer because Taylen Green was his quarterback, but Taylen Green had some – he was not the most natural passer, I would say. He was definitely kind of a run-first guy who was they're trying to develop as a passer. And he's at Arkansas now, and it sounds like he's going to be Bobby Petrino's starting quarterback. So I'm interested to see how that works out because he had some issues throwing the football last year. And so I think there was a situation where they just maybe a little hamstrung. He was a little hamstrung with that passing game situation. So I'm interested to see him with a guy like Vandegrift, who's maybe a little more polished. All right, guys. I think that will just about do that here. Okay, we'll do one more, Matt Chumley. We should be able to simulate Tennessee speed a lot better. Let's see here. Still hard, but it helps have guys that have played against that too. I agree with that, Matt. And I think we'll go ahead and wrap that up here. Again, guys, thanks for doing that. We should get Mr. Roush back next week. I appreciate all of you guys who submitted questions, whether on the board or here in the chat. Again, we've got some more spring coverage coming this way. Kentucky should be opening a practice for the media, so we'll have a lot coming from that. So stay tuned for that. And then we got the spring game next week. So keep your fingers crossed we can get some good weather, get some tailgate beers out in the parking lot for your fine football folks, and go in the stadium and watch some football and get to see some of these new guys, get to see Bush Hamden, get to see Brock Vandegrift, get to see Pop Dumas Johnson, get to see some of these guys out on the field. So getting excited about it, and we're getting inching closer to the season, and we've got a jam-packed summer coming, got plenty of content, plenty of coverage, team coverage, both recruiting and what's going on with the current roster. Over at KSR Plus, things are going to pop off with the portal again, and that goes right into the peak summer recruiting month, and that gets us right into the season. So come out, come over and join us. It's going to be a fun ride, and I think that'll just about do us. So go Cats, go Kroger.